Welcome to another episode of The Journey 8. I'm Reverend Judy Hosner, and I'm your host. Please stay with us for the next hour as we talk it out. That song, and of course the group is Will of Titus, and you can find their album Awake My Soul on iTunes. Okay, so welcome again to The Journey 8. I'm Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to hang with us this first day after Easter, which technically, for those of you who are not familiar with the Christian calendar, begins the season of Eastertide. And this is the time from Easter Sunday to Pentecost, 7 weeks. So we're going to use that 7 weeks to celebrate and hopefully take some time to learn what the life of Jesus was about and what he tried to teach us. Now, as I mentioned, we have a full show tonight. And I've worked with the schedule upside down and backwards, and I don't know. I think I'm just going to throw a coin in the pot and see what comes up. I do have a couple of important messages. The first one I'm going to give you and get it off my plate. Those of you who have been with me from the beginning know that we have been on the air for 2.5 years now. And we've managed somehow to operate with a very small budget and the grace of God. Now, we started today a GoFundMe page because I am antsy about sponsors. I promised myself that when we started the Journey 8, we would not take special sponsors because I wanted us to keep focused on what our goal is. So keeping true to that promise, I'm going to ask you to support myself and the staff, Jen and Jenna and Wasif. We have a lot of work left to do. And you can do two different things. Why? Because I love choices. You can go to GoFundMe.com/UDWCHYNC. And that will take you directly to the page I created today. And a button there where you can donate. Or you can go to my favorite place. And that's my homepage at BBS Radio. It's www.bbsradio.com/thejourney8. And again, you'll find a nifty little donate button. No gift is too small or too large. And whatever you got to give us, we're thankful for. All right. So now I'm going to mix things up again. This is like version 3. And Wasif, are you out there?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, perfectly fine.
Can you hear me now?
I was going to ask you, could you give that GoFundMe address one more time? Those last few letters I quite didn't catch. I was trying to write them down.
It's www.gofundme.com/UDLikeDog, WCHYNC.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, I just put that together today. We'll see. I set out the budget for the rest of the year, and that's what I'm asking for. You know, the Lord said, if you don't ask, you won't receive. So let's see what happens. All right. So I understand that you have a couple of things.
Yeah, I have a few interesting things that I wanted to share with our listener base. And, you know, I think it's important to share this information, and I'm going to tell you what it is in a second, but just to lay a 30-second groundwork here. When, of course, those of you who are listening by this time, you know that I'm a Muslim. And I'm part of the Muslim community in the Burlington, Greensboro, High Point, and Winston-Salem area, which we also call the Triad Plus. And being a member of this community, I just wanted to give our listener base a little bit of an insight into what actually happens within a Muslim community when a terrorist attack takes place, either on U.S. soil or may it be in Lahore, Pakistan, which was on Easter Sunday. There was a terrorist attack at a big park in Lahore, Pakistan, which is just basically where kids go to ride rides and Ferris wheels and so on and so forth, or may it be in Brussels like it was last week. I don't know if people know enough what happens in a Muslim community when something like this happens. But to give you some kind of idea to the listeners out there, you know, our hearts sink along with the hearts of many others that get to hear this type of news, and our prayers and hopes are towards justice and peace, and and really with the families of the victims that get hurt or are killed in such attacks. So one of the very first things that I receive, having been the president of the Islamic Center of Greensboro, is mail from various different societies here in North America. And of course, if you are ever interested to see it yourself, some Google keywords that you can use is basically go into Google and type in Muslims condemn Brussels. And it will show you article after article from Chicago to New York to Malta to Saudi Arabia to, and I'm just scrolling on my phone, reading you the names of the different societies, countries, and communities that condemn every time an attack happens. And I'm not just talking about one guy getting up and saying, I condemn this. I'm talking about formal condemnation. And one of the, just to give you a flavor of what a formal condemnation sounds like, I'm going to read you one from the USCMO, which is the U.S. Council of Muslim Organizations, and it's basically a coalition of leading national and local Muslim organizations. And they, I won't read the whole thing, but I will read you part of it, which states that the U.S. Council of Muslim Organizations, a coalition of leading national and local Muslim organizations, strongly condemns the heinous terrorist attacks that took place early this morning in Brussels, Belgium, and left at least 30 innocent people dead and many more injured. Similar terrorist attacks took place most recently in Turkey and Mali and claimed the lives of tens of innocent people. USCMO is utterly saddened by these repugnant attacks and stands consistent in its condemnation of any and all attacks on the sanctity of human life taking place anywhere in the world, regardless of the perpetrators, targets, or reasons. The U.S. Council of Muslim Organizations stands in solidarity with the people of Belgium, Turkey, and Mali and sends its sincere prayers and condolences to the victims' families and loved ones. We urge the world to come together in peace and solidarity during this difficult time and rise above the hate and violence the perpetrators wish to spread. So I wanted to share that with you as a anecdote, if you will, of what a condemnation sounds like within our sphere of influence, meaning from Washington, North Carolina, South Carolina. If we were to take a few organizations together and be a part of this umbrella organization, which is called USCMO, we will condemn the attack with them, and we have. One other piece of information that I wanted to read out, and then my piece here will be coming to a close, is actually a very interesting piece I found, and I think that, you know, Judy, you yourself and your listeners are, of course, you play a lot of music on this show. And so, Islam in itself, the Quran in itself, the entire Quran is poetry. It's poetry. And so sometimes, you know, saying things with a poetic license, I think, gets a little bit closer to the heart than, you know, if you just write a formal letter. And Judy, are you still there?
I am here.
I just want to make sure. Okay, great, great.
I give you the platform.
All right, thank you so much. I wanted to I thought I would bring this to your to the listeners' attention. I thought this was very interesting because this is from a Belgian film and theater director named Ismail Saidi, who wrote a post on his Facebook and 15,000 people liked it, and the Belgian newspaper La Libre actually reprinted it. And I am actually going to read you his post as translated by Slate magazine. And so this is a translation from Belgian into English, but here goes. So the question that he asks before he writes his post is, why aren't Muslims taking to the streets en masse to condemn the attacks? And then he answers it himself, and it states, because we are driving the taxis that have been taking the population home for free since yesterday, because we are caring for the wounded in hospitals, because we are driving the ambulances that are racing through the streets like shooting stars trying to save what life remains in us, because we are at the reception desks of the hotels that have been welcoming onlookers for free since yesterday, because we are driving the buses, the trams, and the subway cars so that life can continue, though wounded. Because we are still looking for criminals in our police, investigator, and magistrate outfits. Because we are crying for our dead too. Because we are no more spread than anyone, spared than anyone else. Because we are doubly, triply bruised. Because the same fate produced the executioner and the victim. Because we are groggy, lost, and we are trying to understand. Because we spent the night on our doorstep waiting for a person who won't come back. Because we are counting our dead. Because we are in mourning. The rest is only silence. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a one-person account. I gave you the the organization account. And then I wanted to give you a single person's account of what goes through a Muslim mind and heart when something horrendous happens, may it be to Muslims or non-Muslims alike. I just wanted to end by saying may God shine his grace and his mercy upon the families of the victims, in Lahore, of the victims in Brussels, and the refugees and anybody that really needs help in this time, in this very trying time on this earth. And I pray that God gives us and sheds light towards the efforts in the future that I think, and I hope that our listener base agrees, that there are efforts that are remaining out there that we must and we can and we will, God willing, only lift together. I think we are all doing very well in our own insular silos, but now is the time to start doing things that we can only do together, and that means that to lift a heavier weight to come towards a greater responsibility. And I pray that God makes that path easy for us.
Yes. Now, are you going to be able to listen to the rest of the show?
I will. I will be.
Okay. Because I think it'll be very important for you to hear the message I have to say. But
I'll be listening very intently.
Good, good. Well, thank you, Wasif. You know, whenever something like this happens, I'm sure God cries. God cries as much, if not more, than all of us put together, because he created us. And to watch us self-implode has got to be a painful thing. We've got to do a better job. Somewhere, his grace has to shine through. So you hang in there and listen, because I think you'll see the point of the message I have. But
I certainly Jen, will.
Yes. Jen, are you there?
I am.
Oh, there you are. Ha ha. Can you hear okay?
I can.
Well, did you get away from that whatever you were at last time? I don't hear any static.
Oh, good.
Good. All right, so I'm going to ask you and Jenna, first of all, what is God doing with you? We haven't talked in 2 weeks. Well, on the line anyway. And I think, have a short time reflection and introduction of where you might be appearing in the coming weeks. Is that true or no?
I do.
Okay. And then after I say my little homily, I'm going to ask you to try to sing a song live, and let's see how it turns out.
Okay.
All right, so go.
So, Well, yeah, I would like to kind of, actually I'd like to kind of share where I'm going to be in the next coming week. One, I'm going to be, like, April 16th, I'll be playing, it's called Dolphin's Dream. It's a fundraiser out in Archdale, North Carolina. And the fundraiser is to help the less fortunate, and it's a big festival, and there's going to be, like, bands playing, and I'll be playing, and there's going to be stuff for the kids and things like that. But the fundraiser is to reach out to the less fortunate and to buy, like, gift cards to help buy food. And the reason I wanted to share that particular event is because things like that is just really close to my heart, rather than just going out and just playing, because we're helping people. We're reaching out. We're touching people. And this event is just something that the community can get behind. And regardless of what you believe in, you can reach out and you can touch others and you can help others, because, you know, I know at one point in my life, I went hungry and I went without, and I knew what it felt like to have no food. So, you know, it's really important to me. So, and it starts at like 9 o'clock, goes all day long, and all the proceeds go to help the community and people in need.
And so, what's it called again?
Dolphin's Dream.
And it's in Archdale?
It's Dolphin's Dream, April 16th in Archdale, North Carolina, on Main Street.
All right. What else is new?
What else is new? Well, I'll be playing a lot of shows. I'm actually getting ordained, so I'm kind of...
I was hoping you would say that.
Yeah, I haven't really told a lot of people yet, because, you know, I don't really like to share a whole lot. But I am actually getting ordained in a little while this month. So that's my big news. It's been a few years coming through schooling, as you know. Mm-hmm. And so I'm pretty excited and very nervous about that journey. So we'll see where God takes me with that. I never actually expected that to happen when, you know, growing up. Well, so
keep your heart open, and everything will be fine.
I know.
Woohoo! Where's Jenna?
Yeah. She's right here. Hi.
Hi, what's new with you?
Oh, nothing new, really.
Okay. Well, Jenna is our graphic artist for the Journey 8. She's volunteered, which is the type of budget I can afford. and so you'll see some changes on the homepage and stuff. And I appreciate all she's done behind the scenes and in front. So, you know, I want to say this, and it's probably going to embarrass some people, I just don't know who. But I've known Jen for going on 5 years, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. And I've been one of her mentors along the way. And Jen will be the second one ordained in the little chicken hatch, I guess, the hatchling. And it's so wonderful to watch someone's ministry grow. And I know there's a few other people that are pleased as punch, Sebastian and some of the others who have helped mold you and to the wonderful preacher, pastor, evangelist, whatever. And every person finds their way. So, you know, just chill, stay with the Journey 8 for a while until you know for sure what you want to do, which is the Journey 8. So I'm going to do my little 6 or 7 minute thing while you set up your guitar and stuff. And then we're going to come back to you and Jenna for some more information. I'm going to go back over the GoFundMe page. One of the things I wanted to say is when you see the amount on the GoFundMe page, don't freak. That is the budget that has been set for the rest of this year. So if we can hit that, anything over that is ice cream. Wait a minute. That's not right. Anything over that goes towards next year, right? So, Jen, and you've done this before with your trip to Mozambique and stuff. One of the main things we have to do as a group, Wasif and Jen and Jenna, is really get the word out there. And I don't care if it's 15 cents, if that's all they have to donate. Now, the Dawson's Dream thing is just prophetic. Not prophetic, but prophetic. Because once you hear what I have to say, I can't remember if I ran the rough draft by you or not, you're going to see how God works. So let's get into that. Now, one of the things we don't do very often, because we have so much to do now, is I don't get to preach very often. I guess you call it preaching. And so I kind of take a back seat and let things flow. But last week, Palm Sunday, I was laying in the emergency room and I was bored. I didn't have my iPad. And anyone who knows me knows I go nowhere without my iPad. It's an appendage now. And so I was bored and I asked God for something to do. Give me a puzzle or something, and this is what he gave me. So sit back for the next couple minutes and see if any of this fits in what we've just talked about. Who is the blessings of Easter for? As many of you regulars know by listening to the Journey 8, we were founded on the principle of sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus by extending our preconceived ideas of spirituality to look in the mirror of life and ask, could there be other reasons for our faith, hope, and love? In other words, are we doing enough in God's eyes to fulfill his new commandment of loving one another? Did he just mean love each Christian? I don't think so, because there were no Christians when he gave that commandment. Have we spent most of our time reviving the weary Christian that we've forgotten the weary and heavy burdened child of God, no matter who he or she might be? And Jen, this one's for your announcement. Are we so concerned on saving our souls that those who need to hear God's word the most, those who are downtrodden, the forgotten souls living in cardboard boxes that occupy space in an alley full of rats and other vermin, and those I preach about, the throwaway souls, those who cannot even come close enough to know the name of Jesus, much less be saved by his blood. Will they spend another day without knowing his love because we didn't extend our grace from God to them? And when I say we, I mean Christian, Muslim, Jewish, we. Church universal. The whole message of Jesus, as I understand it, was to take our loaves and fishes and share them in kindness and concern. This includes those people carrying signs on the street corner or at a stoplight. Just throwing money at them is not what I believe God means when he says to give yourself. Who is the Easter season for? The child hunting for eggs and goodies? Or the child sifting through the local garbage pile for some food? Even if that child is not a Christian. I think we have a message going here. And if it is for all those children of God who can't find their way to him, what do we need to do to help them see the path? We don't have to take their hand and walk them completely down the path. Let's just show them the way. Who is the Easter season for? The Muslim praying five times a day? The Jew who carries the burden of being the child of a survivor of a horrid crime? When we, the people, turned our backs and pretended not to hear the cries of those in pain and suffering, were we no better in the 1940s than those in Egypt who took the same people's forefathers and made them slaves for Pharaoh? Who is the Easter season for? Is it for you and me? Of course it is. But I believe when Christ hung on the cross and died, and then arose to prove to all that even death couldn't hold him back, he was making that example for all of us. And all of us need to know that miracle. Am I out to convert every person of another religion? Not really. I'm here to look at each lost person, whether they are Christian or not, and bring them to the altar of Jesus. I'm not here to tell people with heavy hearts, and listen to this, to take their sorrow and pain, put it in God's lap, and then walk away from it and say, it's over. I turned it over to God, and I don't need to deal with it anymore. Many evangelists may teach that type of interpretation of the Bible, but I believe there's a missing part to that scenario. Don't get me wrong, it's good to lay your hurt and pain at the feet of Jesus, but your part is not finished by doing just that and walking away. That practice is but to test to see if Jesus will ask the Father for your forgiveness. Walking away from life, no matter how painful, does not bring peace. It brings procrastination and temptation. For you have said, here, God, take this. And then you ran as far as east is from west. And you never looked back in fear that God would be right there. And of course, he was. He is there to catch you when you fall from the world again, to start the process all over. You see, running away is not the completeness of forgiveness. And until we learn that, all of us, we will still be haunted by it. Don't run away. Don't run, right, Jen? I ask you tonight to ponder the ideas that you have been told concerning Eastertide. Ask Jesus what you should be doing, running to him and his lost children, or running away just to fall again. And the amazing thing is, and I can tell you this from experience, when you are ready, when you are ready, he will take your gifts and lay them out in front of you. And if you open your heart and eyes, you will know your path. We at the Journey 8, all of us, are trying to help lead you to the path of light and love, whether you are Christian, Muslim, Jew, agnostic, atheist. Somehow, I know, somehow, there is a place in your busy heart for the light of heaven. You give your burdens to God, but don't run away. Let him heal you and continue to let him move in your spirit. You will be so much stronger for it. Yes, amen. And when I said Jen, I wasn't poking at her or pulling her out. I was saying, Jen, this is what you are doing today. You know, all these benefits that you play in. And Wassef, even though you're not online, I know you're listening. All these things that you are involved in, the stuff that I do, it may seem like small stuff. You know, it might seem so centralized, you know, right here. But you never know who's listening to this show. And I can show you email after email from places I've never even heard of, you know, Fuzzy Whiskers, Montana, you know, things like that, where people have said, I never knew that. I never knew that once I told God to go away, I could not tell him to come back. Yeah. All right. So we are at, 36 minutes past the hour. We have a few minutes. I'm going to come back to Jen and Jenna. And I wish I could have kept Wassef on the line. I don't know. Got to figure out a way to do that.
I'm still on. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. See, we can't do a three-way. Woohoo! It's the magic of computers. We have the world's best engineer. You know, he can engineer me out of anything, I swear. And usually does.
I'm waiting excitedly to hear Jenna speak.
I have a very sore throat, so if you hear me guzzling, it's only Coke, really. although there's been times. So, Jen.
Yes.
Did you? Yes. You know, I wish I had half your energy sometimes. I could bottle it and make some money, right?
Don't I want to.
Sometimes I do. Before we come to your song, I want to play a song that I play quite a bit. But this song has a really cool message. It's by Karen Williams. It's from her album, Letting Go of Perfect, which I think is the perfect name for an album. Letting Go of Perfect. And it's called Head Up. So, Mr. Engineer, if you have it, let's play it.
You down, knock you to the ground if you let it. We were made to overcome. The victory is won. Don't forget it. For it's the joy of being saved, being free from the grave. So come on and lift your eyes.
I love that song. You should have wrote it, Jen. It sounds like you.
Does it?
Yes. That beat, fun that song. Backbeat thing. Okay, so what song did you pick for us to hear tonight?
It's a song called Ask of Me. It's based out of John 14:14, where Jesus said, ask of me anything in my name and I'll give to you. But I took a different twist from it. Instead of people asking me, God, heal me. God, give me this money. God, give me this. I took it, God, let me be your healing hands. Let me be your love to the depressed. Let me be the one who can feed the hungry. Because instead of asking for stuff for ourselves, why don't we ask God for the things that he would want? Why don't we ask God for to be more like him? You know what I mean? Let us be him to the least of these.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see how it goes.
Along with what you were saying.
You know, it's funny. All this came together, and I had about 13 versions. I think I was driving Irene crazy. And, of course, my cat Bits is sitting in the chair next to me. She's given up on me. She's asleep. She's the co-producer of this show, and she falls asleep every time. But, you know, sometimes you just have to go trust God, put the rough skeleton together, and he, you know, makes it all work. I think it's cool how all this came together. So let's tune your guitar and let's try it.
We'll see how it goes with the phone. Tell me when you're ready.
Ready.
All right, you guys, this is Ask of Me. So. Ask of me, and I will give to you. You said, ask of me, and I will give to you.
Remove my fear to speak your love.
the hurting one. Remove my fear. Make me bold so I can do your work. You called me to. You said ask of me. Ask of me and I will give to you. Give to you. You said ask of me. Ask of me and I will give to you. Give to you.
Okay, we'll have to perfect the instrumental part, but the words are phenomenal. The guitar, this is interesting, and the engineer can probably explain it to me. The guitar, the acoustics of the guitar, and you'll hear it when the archive comes up. The acoustics of the guitar drove the computer crazy. I didn't know what to do with it. And that's because we're going through...
It was too loud? The guitar was too loud?
I don't know.
Well, that's just because the computer was dancing.
Yes, that's because the computer was dancing. You know, sometimes you learn what to do by learning what to do. Now, I thought the song was awesome, but, you know, you could sing Mary Had a Little Lamb, and I would think it's awesome. But the... we'll have to, when you listen to it, you'll see. And I think it has something to do with the telephone. You know, trying to play through a phone, through a connection, all the way back to Hollywood and then all the way back here. But we'll get it. That was I hadn't heard that song before.
No, you haven't.
Okay, fine. And I thought I heard them all.
I'll have to give you a CD.
Yes, that would be cool. Yeah.
Remind me next time I see you.
I will remind you on this weekend. So here's the deal. We're towards the end of the show, and I think it's so neat that I can have both of you now. I didn't know that. I don't know. One of the things that we do as a team is, you know, we try to bring together the different ideas, the Muslim, the Christian, the rock and roll, the traditional, and put it all in this pot and call it stew. And so far, it's worked out pretty good, I think. What do you think, guys?
Yeah. I think it's good, but I think it's all based on love and respect. So,
good. Yeah, and I have the greatest respect for you and Jenna and Wasif. You bring me all kinds of information that, you know, I'm not exposed to for a lot of reasons. And, you know, as the family grows, which I'm sure it will from time to time, you know, the people out there are the ones that we are, we're concerned about. You know, we have fun and all that stuff, but it's the people out there. Now, I think, Mr. Engineer, don't I have a few more minutes left yet? I love doing this to him. Poor guy. I'm surprised he doesn't.
Well, Judy, can I can I just do a minute plug?
You can.
Hopefully on the next show, I actually have word from the gentleman. I have a for another interview, and I'll discuss this with you. But there's a gentleman, really interesting guy. He actually is a professor at A&T, and his name is Dr. Musa Isifu. He's on the Greensboro Human Relations Commission, and as well as he just got assigned as a board member for the Police Review Board in Greensboro. And I just met with him last week, and I was probing him to see what his interest might be of coming on to the show. There was a few very interesting things that he told me, specifically when it pertains to kind of the major activities and funding coming into this area that I think would be really neat to meet for the listeners. So we can discuss, you know, how to bring him in. But just for the people listening out there, if you're wanting to listen to Dr. Isifu speak on such topics, please tune in next time.
Good. I also, just so you know, I'm not the biggest slacker. Okay, I am, but a gentleman by the name of Noah Reed belongs to my church, and I was able to corner him Sunday during the Easter egg hunt and stuff, and he is the vice president of the NAACP here in the Triad area. And another gentleman by the name of Barrett Brown is the president. And I haven't been able to get a hold of Barrett, but Noah has committed to coming on in May because he's due to have a baby. Well, he's not, but his wife is any moment now. So I wanted to give him a good month to settle in before we dragged him off. And he has some wonderful stuff to talk about. And I'm going to admit this online. I really did not think the NAACP was for white people. And this is how stupid you can be when you're raised in the North. But it's not. And he's going to talk about all the stuff that we do as a church, but also, you know, in general. And I think you guys are going to really like it. Jen, if you ever come across somebody, don't be afraid to throw them on the plate and put them in the fire. You know, we'll barbecue them at about 300 degrees. And so we're all, I think, Mr. Engineer, let me type. Do we have any time at all?
I think we have 5 minutes.
2 minutes. Oh, it's not going to be enough. I wanted to play another song, but. So, what? Okay. Let's go ahead. Y'all have heard the story about Carol Simpson. She's a very dear friend. She's been a dear friend for almost 30 years. And this is the title song to the album she did a few years ago called Step Out. And I want to play it because it's a good ending to our show.
Step out, God will show you the way. Step out, why not do it today? God will never ever leave you. Where the grace of God will keep you, you have the gift of faith. Step out. God has given you a calling, and it's only there for you. And has given you the talent the things that you will do. So why not toss aside the fear that's holding you down and realize you've been surprised and stand on solid ground. Solid ground. Step out. God will show you the way. Step out. Step out. Why not do it today? God will never ever leave you. Where the grace of God
out. Jen, I think you're still online, right?
Yep.
Okay. Wasif had to sign off and run after children. I hope he catches them. So Step Out, and that's how I want to end this song, with encouragement for Dawson's Dream. You guys look that up on Google and come out and support Jen. And we're going to say good night. And God bless.
Good night.
Good night. And don't forget to hit the donate button.
Oh, yeah.
All right, yeah. Mr. Engineer, take us out of here.
Thank you for being with us this evening. Please come back again. And remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace.